Well, for a moment, when Jake started to speak about those things, I thought he knew my story. And I thought he knew things that had happened to me in my life. I know discouragement too, Jake. And I'm sure every one of us here in the room at one time or another have experienced some form of it. What was the number of the hymn you gave out? Five in the back. I was thinking of that hymn. And the first verse says, "Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for ceaseless songs of praise." And as Jake mentioned, the times in my life that I am unable to praise the Lord are when I'm looking at myself. When I'm caught up with myself, and I can no longer see that one who gave himself for me, the Lord Jesus Christ. Ceaseless praises. It says, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. I didn't say it all correct. Hebrews 13. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Verse 15. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. In 1 Peter 2, it says that you and I are a purchased people. He gave his life for you and I. He redeemed us to himself. He shed his precious blood. It says he brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light, so that we might show forth the praises of him. That we might show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, or the excellencies. A young brother prayed at the end of the meeting this morning. And oh, how it touched my heart. I can't remember the words exactly, but he expressed that we would remember the Lord every day, not just today, the Lord's day. You know, they were to eat unleavened bread 7 days. 7 days. He says in John chapter 21, Simon Peter, lovest thou me? In the gospel message last night, the speaker, he said, take your name and insert it here in this verse. Take your name today and insert it into that little verse in John. Simon Peter, lovest thou me? I could be ashamed most days if I said, Jonathan Grinton, lovest thou me? How quickly we forget that one who loved us and gave himself for us. In Joshua chapter 5, at the end of the chapter, verse 14, and he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the host Sorry. And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Do you and I recognize the place that he has brought us into? This morning was the most wonderful blessing to be gathered together with those of like precious faith to think about our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that went to the cross of Calvary for you and I and gave himself so that we might live. Simon Peter, lovest thou me? How long before I walk out the door and I get in my car? How long before I get on the school bus in the morning or I go to work? Before I've forgotten that one. And I'm so caught up with myself that I forget that I'm standing on holy ground. I've been reading in Ezekiel at home. And in chapter 8, we wouldn't read them all, but you could look for a moment. It speaks of the abominations that they did there. And I wouldn't be able to quote any of them to you standing up here like this right now. So I'll look there for a moment just to give you an idea of what I'm thinking about. Ezekiel chapter 8. Jake, I thought after you had the courage to come up here and speak that it wouldn't be so hard, but I can't even turn the pages of my Bible right now. Ezekiel chapter 8. And just for an example, in verse 4 it says, behold, the glory of God, of the God of Israel, was there, according to the visions that I saw in the plain. Verse 5, then said he unto me, son of man, lift up thine eyes. Now the way toward the north, so I lifted up mine eyes the way toward the north, and behold, northward at the gate of the altar, this image of jealousy in the entry. And he said, furthermore unto me, son of man, seest thou what they do? Even the great abominations that the house of Israel committeth here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary, but turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. And he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Then said he unto me, son of man, dig now in the wall. When I had digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, go in, and behold, the wicked abominations that they do here. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping thing and abominable beast, all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel, and in the midst of them stood Jaazaniah, the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Then said he unto me, son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the chambers of his imagery? For they say, the Lord seeth us not. Verse 14, just a part of it. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house. So much focusing on the abominations, I do not. But consider yourself in your own life, knowing what he has done for me, what he has done for you. We had the pilgrim's portion, pilgrim's progress, before us in the young people's meetings. We tasted a bit of it in Hebrews 12. That is the progress of you and I as strangers and pilgrims here in this world. What is our progress? What direction are we going in? Well, it seems to me here that they're going further and further and further away. Possibly the things are getting worse and worse and worse in their life. Even so much as they would bring it to the house of God. And that they would say such things as the Lord seeth us not. Do you and I deceive ourselves in our lives as believers and feel like God doesn't see what we do? I assure you, He loves you very much. And we each can claim like Hagar, Thou God seest me. He knows what we do in our lives. We cannot hide anything from Him. We had there to be, in Hebrews 12, looking diligently. That is the progress of a pilgrim. That is something I cannot claim that I am very good at. I do not stand before you here at the moment to tell you that I've got it figured out and that I'm looking diligently. I love the hymn. It says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Jake, that's what you and I need. It keeps us from discouragement. It keeps us walking in the path of righteousness. It keeps us in the path of faith. Progress as a pilgrim. But here we have these things that get in our way and they come up in our life and we get so caught up in them that we don't realize that we carry them all the way through, even into the door, even here as a believer in Christ, to sit together. Look in Malachi chapter 1. I'm not certain, but I believe somebody mentioned maybe in the young people's meeting and possibly in the reading meeting. Well, I believe somebody held up a phone, a device. And I'm not here to speak about your use of your device. But it was a good example. It was a good example. And if used improperly, most certainly could become such a thing as an abomination. Something that can get in your way, an idol. In your relationship, your happiness, your joy being full, it can get in the way. And there are many other things. I like cars, I like motorcycles, I like snowmobiles. There's a lot of things that I could focus my attention on that could draw my attention from that which is my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I did that for a time in my life. And I was so interested in racing of every aspect that you can imagine that I lost sight of that one that was important to me. And the importance of Him became less and less and less each and every day of my life, until really I'm not certain I could hear Him saying, Jonathan, lovest thou me? I'm not certain that I could quite hear it. Things have become so dim and foggy. I could tell you every aspect of what it took to run a car around a track. But I couldn't tell you much about my Savior. And I couldn't tell you much about where you might find that verse in the Gospel of John. Satan was winning the battle. I would go to meeting on Lord's Day, and I'm ashamed to tell you that I might sit in my chair and be looking at the clock, wondering if the meeting would end on time. By the way, when we remember the Lord, it doesn't end on time. We don't put an end time on it. But I thought it should be from 11 until 12 o'clock. And if the Sunday school was maybe 45 minutes, I could get home to watch the race at 1:30. I took it with me to the door. The ground thou standest on is holy. Do you recognize that this morning? I am so thankful that Jake got up and said what he said, because I was petrified sitting in my seat as to whether the Lord would have me to stand here and speak today. And I did not know that I would speak this to you. But that encouraged me to do so. And it affected what I had to offer back to the Lord, not only in my life every day, but on the Lord's Day, when I was supposed to remember Him in His death for me on the cross. It had a major effect. It is as though I sat there and went through the motions. The bread came by. The cup came by. Where do you sit today, dear one? Do you take a little bread and a little wine, put something in the basket, and off out into the world you go? Do you hear His voice? Simon Peter, lovest thou me? He did it all for you. What do we do for Him? Malachi verse 5, and your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, the Lord will be magnified. Well, let's continue. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts unto you? O priests that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? I was thinking particularly of these verses. Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? And that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person? I don't want to take these verses out of context, but I certainly felt they reached out to my heart and spoke deeply to me when I read them many years ago. And I thought that what I was giving The Lord Jesus Christ, on Lord's Day, well, let's just say it was nothing. And as he has worded it here, it wasn't worth. The governor wouldn't even accept it. It was such a poor offering on my part to that one who loved me and gave himself for me. That one that was my risen Savior on high in the glory that went to prepare a place for me because he wants me to spend eternity with him. And he promises that he's coming back to receive me, and to take me to be with him for all eternity. And what did I have to offer? What do you offer to him today in your life as a believer, as a pilgrim in the wilderness? Do you progress in the path of righteousness? Are you looking diligently? Do you see him? Or do you see everything else that you're caught up with? Those are the things that will discourage you. Those are the things that will lead you away from the path. There is that holy highway in Isaiah, and he has put you and I on it. And we are meant to walk on that all the way through this journey, all the way home. Satan has supplied the byways. Do you feel it is okay to step off that holy highway into a byway now and again, thinking you might take a shortcut and God does not see? We sing it in Sunday school, don't we, Sammy? He sees what we do. He hears what we say. My Lord is watching all the time, time, time. Oh, he loves you so much. And he wants to have a wonderful relationship with you. He wants you to hear his voice. And he wants you to follow him. My sheep hear my voice and I know them. And they follow me and I give unto them eternal life. I give unto them eternal life and they follow me. Is that right? It's close. He wants us to follow him. Bernie said it before he sat down. What is your offering? Back to the book of Jude. Verse 24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. You know, for Joshua, it said, the ground that thou standest on is holy ground. He says in 1 Peter, be ye holy, for I am holy. You and I have every opportunity as believers, looking diligently to Him, following the path that He has laid out, we merely have to look for His footsteps and walk in them. We have every opportunity to be happy believers, that our joy might be full. It doesn't say, as Jake pointed out, it does not say that we won't go through difficulties. It does not say it will be easy. Consider Peter, Simon Peter. What did he go through in his life? And then he can write, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Consider where the Lord Jesus Himself took Peter from. Peter denied Him at the cross 3 times. He was more concerned about those around Him. And God, the Lord Jesus, could say, "Don't worry about him, you follow me." And oh, think about how he could speak of the Lord Jesus from then on. He could say things like, "There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved." Oh, how he loved Jesus, and he wanted to serve him and please him. Get yourself right with the Lord. I am so thankful that the Lord is long-suffering, and that he loves me, and that he would take me, and that he would rattle my chain a little bit. He would shake me in love and say, "Jonathan, wake up. I love you. Don't you love me? I've done all this for you. What are you doing for me? Don't you have time for me? You have time for all these other things. What about me?" And then we sing it, "Oh, how I love Jesus." I'm so thankful that he had the patience and the endurance to pick me up out of that pit, out of that miry clay, and set my feet upon the rock. If you're in that pit, if you're in that miry clay, you remember Jeremiah. Down into that pit he went. Is it Abimelech? Say it louder.
Abimelech.
He went with the clouts of cloth, the cords. You find it in Jeremiah 38. And he lowered them down. And in love, he was pulled up out of that pit. It is the same with you and I. It was with cords of a man and with bands of love, that of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he has drawn us to himself. "I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Remember his love. Remember it daily. Remember it by the minute. Keep short accounts with him. Keep us close and keep us cleaving, it says, that with purpose of heart we might cleave unto him. Remember the ground that he has brought you into. "Be ye holy, for I am holy."
Oh, Lord, that of God.
Yeah.
The Gospel of John, the 20th chapter. We had the privilege this morning to remember our precious Savior, His death. We sang in that first hymn, "Tune My Heart." That struck me, that line, just part of that line. Here we have the story of Mary Magdalene. You might say, in a sense, perhaps this is the first time that anyone had the privilege to remember the Lord Jesus and His death. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. We know the story. She went and bought Peter and John, but then verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" She saith unto them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, "Sir, if thou hast borne him since, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus saith unto her, "Mary." She turned herself and saith unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." Her heart was tuned to hear the voice of her precious Savior. And when He spoke her name, she responds, "Master." Perhaps the first one that had the privilege to remember Him in His death. He'd gone to the cross. He'd risen again. She wanted to be where He is. You know, we have the privilege to be where He is, to be gathered around Him, to hear Him, to remember Him in His death. Are our hearts tuned to His voice? Do we hear Him call our names? You know, Mary came, she wanted to be there. She didn't go through a lot of procedure. She just went. And when she got there, she met the Lord. And He spoke her name.
Have you heard it? Have you heard Him speak your name? He wants you to be there with Him. He wants you gathered around Himself to remember Him and His death. Each time may be the last opportunity. Listen to His call. Answer that request. That precious privilege to hear Him speak our names. There's nothing that can replace that.